Hey listeners, it's Ginny here, and I want to thank you, yes you, for tuning in. Like a tree silently falling in an empty forest, this podcast really wouldn't be making a peep if you weren't there to listen. So let's give a huge round of applause to you and your ears. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Let's pretend you and I are at a party, and the conversation steers towards the most memorable movie one-liners from the 90s. You take a sip of your Manhattan, because we're in New York, obviously, and all of your favorite big-screen blockbusters from the noughts come flooding back. You picture Julia Roberts popping her head back into that posh clothing store on Rodeo Drive, reminding them that they've just made a big mistake. Huge. Then you remember the dramatic scene of Kate Winslet letting Leo's body slip into the freezing waters of the North Atlantic, promising to never let go, and she does in fact let go. But then you remember the big one, the line that became so popular that practically overnight it went from conversationally hilarious to Super Bowl commercial famous, to oh my God, would everybody please stop saying that? I'll give you a hint. It was in Jerry Maguire, and Cuba Gooding Jr.'s enthusiastic delivery of it was iconic. If you are a fan of the movie, then you'll likely know all about my guest today. David Meltzer was the real-life inspiration behind Tom Cruise's on-screen character. And he's a motivational powerhouse. He's a legendary sports executive, a passionate entrepreneur, an investor, and a fellow podcast host. David and I also share a deep appreciation for exploring the world and the lessons that reveal themselves through travel. Today we want to find out, outside of the sports arena and the business playbook, David Meltzer, tell me about a memorable place in the world that you visited and just tell me about that experience, what you felt.
Most recently, I was blessed to go to a place that most people on earth have never been, called Alula. And it's an oasis in Saudi Arabia. As you know, Saudi opened up just in 2019. And I'd been to Dubai, I'd been to Riyadh, I had been to Jeddah, but I had never even heard of Alula. And they had a dialogue during the World Cup where they brought in 122 of the biggest dignitaries around the world in sports and entertainment to hear me speak at Alula. And I got to bring my wife to this oasis as well. And it was a living Star Wars. It was a luxury Star Wars. I had my own pool. I had my own hut. There's no stormtroopers running around, but they had the biggest reflection building in the world in the middle of an oasis. So in certain times of day, when the light hit the building, it disappeared because it was reflecting the dunes. The food was extraordinary. The hospitality, exceptional, the different activities that they had, from amazing helicopter rides to tours of, you know, different pyramids or monuments that were built so long ago from this trading oasis that existed out in the middle of nowhere. And the resort itself was spectacular. So it was one of the most unique experiences. It was like literally being in a luxury movie, except for it was Star Wars.
I think our Star Wars fans just geeked out there. Were there lightsabers in Alula?
There wasn't, but if I go back, which I hope to do so, I will bring my own, because the content I could create with the lightsaber in the middle of this Star Wars setting. They actually had an art implementation that was a trampoline set into the sand. And so they had a whole park of trampolines that you could jump on. So there was just so many amazing, unique, never done before type of opportunities. And for someone that has traveled 200 days a year since he was 24 years old, excluding, of course, COVID, to find somewhere that has that many unique experiences definitely stands out.
You said that you've been traveling pretty much 200 times a year for a number of years now. Obviously, I'm assuming that a lot of your reasons for traveling is work.
First of all, I don't believe in work. So part of my travel is incorporated into my philosophy or mindset of activity I get paid for. So there's much more opportunities, options, and touches of favor to get paid by traveling. And that's not just from the actual travel, it's actually from what you learn on the travel, and you can take back the best practices, procedures, products, solutions, and services that you experience while you travel.
Wow, that's a whole lot of learning opportunities. What aspect of your work, David, allows you to travel so frequently?
I'm blessed to speak around the world now, so I have one of the greatest existence to be paid to travel, which is yeah. Wonderful, and get to bring my wife and family along.
Well, that's a nice perk, actually. It probably helps your trip seem non-work related when the family can tag along, right?
My favorite way to travel is actually with my family. When I go to the Great Migration in Kenya, in the Masai Mara, or all these extraordinary places, not only now do I get to learn my lessons, but I get to learn how my children are learning. When I travel, it's to learn. And I'm 100% people person. So I want to go to understand people. In fact, that's part of the reason I went to Saudi so early, is I knew that there was going to be a great transformation and an accelerated one like the world has never seen. And to be able to see how quickly an entire culture can change and create such an open-mindedness, the lessons that I learn from the people that I meet by far prioritize where I travel, why I travel. And my main mission of empowering people is for them to do their best, learn lessons, and have fun. And can you think of any other place than travel to do your best, to learn lessons, and to have fun?
It sounds like you've learned quite a bit from Saudi Arabia. Can you share with me some of the lessons that have really hit you and you've taken away and you kind of apply to day and day?
You know, for me, it's oneness by far. Very few people have traveled to so many places like I have and met so many people like I have. The common denominators, the connectedness, the philosophy and paradigm shift of my entire life, that the majority of people on earth believe there's something bigger than them that loves them more than their mom. The majority of passionate, purposeful, and profitable people all have a desire that they must be what they can be. Innately, we all are happy, healthy, wealthy, and worthy. We all just do things to interfere with that in varying degrees and varying ways.
It's so true. And I think about the fact that the more you travel and see how much we all actually have in common, the clearer that becomes, right? Especially in the ways we hold ourselves back from embracing our potential. And I'm wondering, what common threads do you see among the people that you've met?
I have met people of every size, shape, color, education, economic, bioeconomic background, and the commonalities, the thread that joins us is so obvious to me, where most people, through lack of communication, exposure, and fear, have separated themselves either with inferiority or superiority, either with a need to be right, offended, separate, inferior. Superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, for no reason at all. And if we all could just sit down at one big table, I think everybody would start to realize that I think the differences really sometimes just are in the names of the food, not the food itself.
In your experience, you've traveled to many places, and what transcends cultures, geography, socioeconomic status is that we tend to get in our own way. Was that something that you realized early on in your travel, or is that kind of like an evolving thing?
Yeah, definitely evolved. And my first experience was while I was in law school, I studied in Greece, and understanding, as you study case law, human nature. You know, one of the reasons I love studying law as well as I love studying history, which also is applicable to when I travel, is that human nature never changes. And as I got a greater sampling of human nature, I started to realize the relationship with fear and how we, instead of trying to get more, should really realize we have more. What are we doing to interfere with more?
That's one of the many million-dollar questions in life, right? I'm wondering, the more you've traveled, what did you start to notice about human nature?
As I continued to travel, it became more and more relevant and apparent how similar everyone was, how human nature prevails. And one of the things in human nature that prevails is the ego and the ego-based consciousness. And how can I, number one, identify fear, two, utilize it, and then effectuate a better trajectory?
I can really hear that. That's such a profound realization and what's really inspired your life's mission, right?
My mission, which I created, you know, years ago now, to empower over a billion people to be happy, was derived from the awareness that I gained through the similarities of human nature, and said to myself, if I can find 1,000 people that can teach people to be abundant, to help other people, and to have fun, all lessons from travel, abundance I learned in travel, of course, helping people. You know, I have a charity in Africa and Kenya. We build villages and high schools and colleges.
You're truly a serial entrepreneur there, David.
Entrepreneurship is such a priority in my life. I believe entrepreneurs will change the world. So I am the chief chancellor of Junior Achievement University. We have 100 million alumni around the world. We power 15 to 25 year old entrepreneurs. We were nominated this year for a Nobel Peace Prize. I know that these impactful lessons from the blessing of travel have really not only changed my life, but empowered me to change other people's as well.
What an impactful way to spread knowledge that travel has afforded you. And just piggybacking on that, one of the most important aspects of gaining access to these lessons is knowing how to truly connect with people. When I moved to New York from Australia, one of the things that I learned was there are so many different cultures in this city alone. I mean, I know Australia has a lot of different cultures too, but right in this metropolis, it hits you in the face. And I'm like, oh, wow, there's like 10 million people here. And something one of the first people I met here said to me was, if you ever struggle connecting with someone or relating to someone, ask them if they love their mother and ask them if they like food. So there are two things that you can lead with to connect with someone or anybody, really. How do you break down those walls, David, to connect and feel some similarity?
I first utilize questions or comments to determine if this person has an open mind. One simple open-ended question about food, about where they're from, about their mom. I always tell people, I'll never go broke, Jenny. I do a lot of executive coaching. I always say, if things go really bad, all I'm going to do is offer up mommy issue coaching, and I'll have the whole world calling me. Here's the template. Find an open mind. Ask an open question. Ask them what they like about what they talked about. Ask what they don't like about what they talk about. And then ask them, would it help you if? And if you can find something to help them with, you will have a relationship that is abundant and mutually beneficial, where later on you can ask them, hey, do you know anyone that can help me? Creating a community of people that have open minds, open hearts, and open hands, a community of people that not only can help each other, but know people who can help each other. And when we can do that, things become very easy, abundant, and aggregate and accelerate in the trajectory of where we want to be.
I'm going to put that template in the show notes for anybody who's an expat in any country, how to connect with the local culture. That's great, David. I've got a couple more questions for you because I know you're a very busy man.
Active. I don't like busy. Active. Busy means active. Unavailable. I'm very active. Yeah.
I like how you corrected me there. I also am getting into the habit of not using that word because it does seem disempowering. So I know you're a very active man, as I'm a very active woman. You're an amazing coach and you're teaching an amazing mindset strategies. I'm wondering, what's the most valuable lesson your parents or ancestors have passed on to you and something that you've taken and evolved in this lifetime?
A lesson that I learned probably first from my parents and grandparents, and I have an energetic and genetic inheritance of, is called gratitude. I say thank you before I go to bed and when I wake up. It takes 0.1 seconds and it's free, probably one of the easiest things to do. But if you read historical texts, religious texts, philosophical texts, psychological texts, if you listen to any thought leader that means something to you, whoever your favorite thought leader is in the world, look what they say about gratitude. The exact same thing I'm going to tell you. It's the most impactful thing that will change your life. And it's easy to do, but I think it's more important to teach people that the easy things to do in life, the simple things to do in life, are unfortunately simple not to do. So my mom and family have always taught me to pay attention to the simple things and make sure that you do the simple things because they're simple not to do. And gratitude is first on my list. And it has had the most impact, not just on my life, but on so many people that I teach their lives as well.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. I think the more that you're thankful, the more you have to be thankful for. Jerry Maguire was based on the sports agency that you work for. So here's a question. As someone who watched Jerry Maguire in the 90s, was show me the money a common thing in that agency? Did people actually say that, or was that completely made up?
That was all Cameron Crowe. He's a genius. He had so many great one-liners. The lesson to take from Jerry Maguire, because people will tell me, oh my God, you worked for Lee Steinberg. You were the CEO of that company. And I said, yes. They said, that's my favorite sports film. I said, well, unfortunately, it's not a sports film. It's a love story with a sports backdrop. And that's the basis of my entire sports career is I never worked in sports. I never had or derived activity that I got paid for in sports. Sports was the backdrop to providing value. And utilizing sports as a backdrop, the same way that Jerry Maguire, the movie, used sports as a backdrop to become one of the most popular, well-renowned films of all time with incredible actors like Tom Cruise, Cuban Gooding Jr., and Renee Zellweger, just to name a few, is an important lesson to learn. Use what you love as a backdrop and then apply your skills, your knowledge, and your desire to that backdrop, and you will have an exponential passion, purpose, and profitability in what you do.
You have a book that you'd love to give our audience, but I'm sure they're very excited to learn from. Where can people reach out to you to get the copy of the book for free?
I always say if it's free, it's we. Just email me. So my books, guides, exercises, please just email me. I'm happy to send it to you. I will sign a book. I will pay for the book and shipping, audiobook, ebook. Just please email me, david@dmeltzer.com. So please reach out. The other piece of advice that I want to leave that my mom had always told me, the three most powerful words in success, ask for help. The fastest way to get to where you want to be is find someone who's already there and ask them for direction. So everyone, ask for help, be more interested than interesting, and most importantly, be kind to your future self. Continue to do good deeds. And Jenny, I can't wait to meet you in person when I come to New York. I'm there all the time. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you, David, and thank you, listeners, for joining me today. Your time and attention is something we are so grateful for. This podcast is a production of Ginny Media. If you had fun, please subscribe and leave us a review. I'm Ginny Sarasvati. See you next time, and you know I can't end this one without it. So here goes. Show me the money!